sitting in the past right. 2 weeks.
We were talking about having wisdom in... that's not supposed to do that. We're talking about having wisdom when it comes to passing out gospel tracts.
Yeah.
And Linda was talking about the fact that there are some tracts that may not be fitting for some places.
Right.
But I wanted to explain, that's why this one's called Men of Peace. We do not identify ourselves when we hand that out because we don't want a suicide bomber showing up.
Nope.
But these are the kind you hand out anonymously. And you could... one thing that we do... I'm just giving you ideas because, you know, the way the New Testament church was, people just always did the work of the ministry. They went out, you know, preaching the gospel and dealing with people all the time. And what you a real easy ministry is you take a chick track like this. You can do the same thing, I'm sure, with John's little tracks. You take a rubber band and put it right in the middle like that. And then you can hang it on doors. And we also have some folks that put them on car windshields. Just make sure it's not about to rain.
Right.
Because if it rains on a track, it'll stick to the windshield.
We were told never put them in a mailbox.
That's illegal.
Illegal, yeah.
Yeah. And if they come to me, I'm going to, I know nothing. You know,
that's why God told us about them
post
thing, that is illegal.
It's
a $300
fine.
I didn't
know
the number.
Yeah, we've always told folks. But, you know, I can't control what people do, so we've had people call and say, somebody left a gospel tract in my books at the bookstore. Like, I've not told people to do that, but I can't control people either. And but I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you not to do that. I'm just not going to tell you to do that.
Well, it could have been accidental.
No, it was on purpose. They had like 20 of them in books. Yeah. Whoops! I keep dropping these. Yeah. Use wisdom. All right, let's get into this thing. I got to get quit doing things on the side. But we're in Romans chapter 9. I believe this is study number 95. Ooh. We're going to pick up in verse 3. Romans 9 and verse 3. But for context, we're going to start by reading verses 1 through 3 that John led us in a study through last week. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 3 in Romans 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So let's open with a word of prayer. Jenny, would you open the Bible and say the prayer? Amen. So we left off at verse 3, and I had a couple people ask. We didn't really have a lot of time to get into verse 3, but Paul says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Look closely at that. He's not saying he thinks that's possible.
Right.
He's just saying that that's how much he loves and cares for his brethren, that he would wish that he could be accursed on their behalf for their sake. And it's clear, obviously, Paul could wish, but he could not actually do it. And so go over to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll see that that's the terminology used for Jesus.
Amen.
Only Jesus could and did become cursed for Israel. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, Galatians 3:10, And we'll read through 14 just to get the full picture. Linda, are you there?
Yes.
Could you read verses 10 and 11 to start us?
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
So this is the plight of everyone other than Jesus. It's the plight of all of us before we were saved. It's the plight of these Israelites Paul's talking about, that he wished that he could be cursed for their sake. Our plight is we're cursed. We're the ones that are already cursed under the law. We can't do works, keep the law, and be saved. And that's our problem.
Amen.
And that's what you should express to people. When you talk to people about the gospel, don't start with God has a wonderful plan for your life and all that stuff. They need to understand they're a sinner, they're lost, and they are in a bad fix because they're cursed, and the only way out would be if they kept the law perfectly, and they can't. They've already blown it.
Amen.
And so that's our position. Without Christ, we're hopeless. But it does then say, in contrast to trying to live by the law, it says, it is evident for the just shall live by faith. Jenny Albaugh, if you're there, read 12 through 14.
On Galatians?
Yes.
Oh,
Johnny, if you're there, read 12 through 14.
What chapter was it?
Galatians 3.
Galatians 3. 14? Hold on, I got it. Galatians 3.
I have it.
And
the law is not
of faith. Go ahead, Jenny.
And the law is not of faith.
Or Johnny, whoever.
But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
We're in that plight of being the cursed and unable to save ourselves. So God came in the person of Jesus Christ and became cursed for us. And that's why he hung on the cross. The cross is made out of wood. Wood comes from what?
Tree.
A tree. And the law had said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that was a prophecy of the Messiah hanging on the cross, shedding his blood and dying. He became sin for us. He became cursed for us. And that's why it's not just for the Jews, not just for Israel. Verse 14 is something that all of us Gentiles take for granted, but it's huge. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. But back to
2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. So he became sin on the cross.
Who knew no sin.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Right. So that is what Paul is saying about his brethren the Jews. And you have these crazy nutbags out here telling people that the Israel and the Jews have their own covenant with God. They call it dual covenant theology. And they support Israel and support the Jews, which is great. But they don't want to tell those same Jews that we support that they need to receive their Messiah. And they need to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. How many of you heard of John Hagee down there? He teaches that stuff. And there's other preachers who teach this stuff. And it's false. Jew or Gentile, if your name isn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you are lost. And if you're a Jew, you need to receive the work done on your behalf by your Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, as a footnote, we're just a footnote, folks. We were engrafted in too, and the promise is offered to the Gentiles too.
Amen.
We'll see more of that in just a minute. But only Jesus could become cursed. And so that is where we pick up in verse 4, where he's referring to those he calls my kinsmen according to the flesh in verse 3. Now read verse 4 with me. Is everybody there back in Romans 9?
Romans 9, okay.
And we're picking up where we left off. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now read verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Now, that's a sevenfold, sevenfold blessing, basically, that he's talking about Israel, but you don't start with just taking that for granted. It is, first of all, you are an Israelite. That in and of itself is one of the blessings, to be an Israelite. I'm going to pass out some Bible verses in a second, but I want us to look at Philippians chapter 3 first together. Philippians, right before Colossians, chapter 3. And Jenny Allball, if you're there, Philippians chapter 3, just read verses 4 through 6.
Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more.
And who is I?
Paul.
Paul. Okay, keep reading.
Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
So he's laying out his credentials as an Israelite, as a Hebrew, as a Jew. Those are all interchangeable terms. That he was circumcised the eighth day, and of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and so forth. And look what he says then. This is what he wants for his brethren that he himself has received. Jill, if you're there, read verses 7 and 8.
But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
And see the it's a bit of a contrast. First, he's cursed and hopeless, can't keep the law. And then Jesus dies, becomes cursed, becomes sin, dies on the cross. Paul repents of his self-righteousness, repents of his sin, including persecuting the church, yeah. Repents of everything he is, leaves it all behind, turns to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's repentance.
Amen. Amen.
Believing how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the only reason Paul is saved. That's it. But then what's he do? He doesn't say, this is what most Christians today do. They say, oh wow, I'm saved. Now give me everything I want, genie in the sky. What Paul said is, I don't cling to anything in this life.
Amen.
I give it all up for Jesus. Not to be saved, but because I am saved.
Amen.
And because I'm saved, I understand what Jesus has done for me. And because I understand what Jesus has done for me, I'm going to leave everything and serve him completely, totally sold out. And that used to be preached a lot. But you know what? It's a shame that it's not preached more.
Amen.
But there's still no excuse, because anybody who's a child of God, has the Spirit of God in them, can open the Bible. And they can see what God has to say to us.
Yeah.
Now, I try to be faithful in teaching the Word of God, but I tell you every chance I get that what I give you and what John gives you, what any real Bible teacher gives you, is to be a springboard for you to get into the Word yourself.
Amen. Amen.
And there's a lot of Christians, they come to church a couple times a week, and that's the only time they crack open their Bible. You're doing it wrong. That's not how it's supposed to work. You're backslidden. People don't like to hear that. But if the only time you're cracking your Bible open is when you're in these four walls, you're backslidden.
Amen.
Coming to church is great. That's supposed to be a supplement to your daily walk with the Lord. And if your walk with the Lord consists of 2 days a week or 1 day a week, you're already backslidden. Paul said, I'm saved, now I'm going to give it all up, and I'm going to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, completely. Well, I want to ask you to pay attention, and I don't want to have to repeat this because it becomes very confusing if I do. I'm going to say your name, and I'm going to give you a place to turn in your Bible. Now, you're all intelligent adults here. Don't listen to what I tell everybody else. Just listen to what I tell you. Go to that place, and then this will work. So, I'm going to start where I left off with Brother John. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Doug, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Janie, if you will turn to Exodus 24, verses 12 through 18. Are y'all getting that? Don't have to repeat it. You got what I told you? Jenny Miller, if you would go to Genesis 15, verses 18 through 21. Linda, if you would go to Genesis 17, 1 through 10. Jenny Allball.
Yes, sir.
If you would go to Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 8. Johnny, if you would go to Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And Jill, if you would go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And that's going to give us this sevenfold blessing that Paul's referring to. Every one of those seven blessings, he's based on what the Bible tells us in the Old Testament. That's why you should read your Bible from Genesis to the Revolutions. See, that's how I know you're paying attention.
What did you say, the Book of Matches?
Book of Matches. Maps. Oh, to the maps, yeah.
The Book of Maps.
The Book of Maps. But people try to just read two or three books and a few verses out of this book or that book, and that's why they don't understand their Bible. Now, God, I'm going to say this while you're still turning there. I just want to say this. God knows what he's doing, folks.
Amen.
He gave you this whole book. Now, there's times where you'll be reading it and you're going to be thinking, boy, I can't wait till this is over. That's because we're all flesh.
Amen.
And there's times where we have trouble pronouncing names and all that.
I've tried.
Just stop and slowly. Jenny and I, you know, we've been reading through Nehemiah. And Amen. We're following our Bible calendar. And you can start tomorrow or today. You look for the date, start today. You don't have to wait till January 1st to start reading through your Bible. People do that all the time. And in Nehemiah, you got some real humdingers. I mean, whole sections where it's nothing but wild names.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favorites, Bunny.
Oh, yes, I like that one.
B-U-N-N-I.
Uh-huh.
But there's some that are pretty hard to pronounce. But just take your time. You're not in a hurry, you know?
I like Reno.
Bino?
Yeah.
my new favorite. Well, I don't know about favorite, but so.
So. And it, you know, back in, and it's fun, you know, just, it's there's nothing wrong with having a good time with it. I mean, we had, every time we come to Huppum, Muppum, and Ard, you know, I'm like, those would be great baby names, wouldn't they?
Right.
But we're probably going to have to name dogs because I doubt our kids are going to use those names. But let's look where Paul is referring us back to that Old Testament that too many people ignore. And Exodus chapter 2, John, if you read verses 23 through 25 for us.
And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them.
You see that? That's the blessing of being an Israelite. You know, there's Jews today who joke about the fact that they're the chosen, but they've gone through so much persecution. And they say, you know, once in a while, Lord, why can't you choose somebody else?
Yeah.
You know, but if they would receive their Messiah, they'd be blessed.
Yeah, right.
The same thing's true in the Old Testament before Jesus came. Why are they going through so much stuff? Because they're constantly stiff-necked, constantly in rebellion. And they don't understand the blessing that they could have being Israelites. There's little glimpses of it, you know, with Moses, and then again with Joshua, and then with the judges. They'd be this up and then down, up and down, like a roller coaster. But there'd be these times where God would bless them. And then King David, and even King Solomon. And then even after that, I mean, the stories of Josiah and Hezekiah. You know, some of these, if you're not reading these stories, folks, you're just robbing yourself of amazing blessings. But in between that, it's very aggravating. Because you're like, why are these people so stupid? And then you're like, well, I look around and see that's pretty much how, you know, all of us are. And none of us, you know, I don't hold myself up here as, I am the specimen. Be more like me and you'll be just happy. And no, I'm up here presenting Jesus as the true specimen. And if you want to follow somebody following Jesus, follow Paul. But anyway, there's the first being an Israelite itself. Now, Doug, the adoption. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, that I have known their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of Egypt, the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of their land into a good land and a large unto a land of flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and whatever that is.
Parasites.
Whatever.
Parasites.
No, don't whatever on me now. You can do it.
Just say it with confidence.
And the Jebulites, I get it. Or whatever, I'm a Smith Jones. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, do you want 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee into Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people.
They can hear you yawning.
The children of Israel out of Egypt.
But that's, I just want to take, who's yawning? They can hear it on the camera. The adoption, God picked Israel out of everybody.
Amen.
And we don't have time to run the references, but you know, he didn't pick them because they're so wonderful. He says so all the time.
Amen.
He picked them because of his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And people say all the time, why does God think the Jews are so special? God thinks his word is special.
Amen.
God keeps his promises. And that's what we read back here in Romans 9 and verse 4 is going to end with the promises, because God keeps them.
If he didn't to keep them, the Jews, he wouldn't keep them.
That's exactly right. I have no doubt that I'm saved, and it has nothing to do with anything I've done.
Amen.
It has everything to do with what Jesus did, and he will not lie.
Amen.
He's told me that if I believe that gospel, having repented toward God with faith toward him, I'm eternally saved. And I don't believe he lies.
Amen. Don't lie.
Don't. Now, of course, there's all these issues with, you know, whether a person's saved in the first place. But that's between them and God. I'm talking about you and God. You know if you're saved. You and God know if you're saved.
Amen.
And if you know you're saved, you know you're saved.
Amen.
Did you say that?
Yeah, that Malachi 3:6 talks about, I hear God and I change it not.
Yeah, praise God for it. I mean, you read all the other gods, including Allah. You hear Muhammad talk about his fake god, Allah. Well, according to Muhammad, Allah doesn't really have any standards of any kind. And you could be, you know, deserving of paradise, and just because he doesn't want, like you, he could throw you in hell. Muhammad himself said he didn't know for sure if he's going to paradise. Why? Because it's all fake. It's man-made. The real God gives you the simplicity of the gospel and guarantees your eternal life if you just be born again, be saved. So that Israel's adoption was a national adoption. Keep that in mind. Your adoption, my adoption, is individual. We are individually adopted, baptized into the body, sealed under the day of redemption, and so forth. This is talking about Israel as a nation. Not every Jew is going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Ahab, just as one prime example, you might not expect. You know, there are a few people back there that are really clearly not going to be in heaven. And they were Jews, but the adoption we're speaking of here is about the nation. So now let's look at the glory. I believe that's Jenny. I believe you're at Exodus 24, 12 through 18.
No, I was in Genesis.
Who did Janie, I'm sorry. Janie's the glory. Exodus 24, 12 through 18. Go ahead and read that.
Okay. I have it marked. Good. At least today.
That's the idea.
Okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give you the three tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let them come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai. And
are, you,
the cloud
are you listening and picturing this in your mind?
And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount.
The glory.
In the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights.
You know, man has been mimicking that ever since. Every time you go to a concert, what do you got? Smoke.
And lights.
Lights. And then people say, they'll read this and they'll turn it around. And they'll say, oh, it's like God's putting on a light show. No, man's been mimicking this.
Amen.
Man is always mimicking everything. Superman's mimicking Jesus,
Amen.
The God-man. I mean, everything man does is a mimic.
Yeah.
And it's a cheap mimic.
Counterfeit.
You know, when you read this, you're reading about your future.
Amen.
That glory is what you and I are looking forward to. It's the same glory of the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah and Jesus on the Mount. And he was transfigured and glorified before them. And then Revelation talks about Jesus, hair white like wool, eyes like fire, feet like brass. I mean, that's all glory. It was promised to Israel. They forfeited it when they rejected Jesus. But then Revelation 12, Revelation 19, Jesus is going to return and he's going to establish a kingdom in Israel that will rule over all other kingdoms. That's why he's called King of Kings. He is the King of Israel, and he will rule over all the other kings of the earth for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And we're going to see him in his glory.
Amen.
And at that time, you and I will be in our glory. We will be as he is, the Bible says.
Amen.
That don't get you excited. You need more coffee.
Amen.
But let's look at the covenants now. The covenants, let's go back to Genesis 15. Jenny will read verses 18 through 21, and then Linda will read as well.
In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaim. and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
Now you say, why does he throw all those names in there? Like Doug said, whatever happened to the Smiths and the Joneses and everything? But that's how the Arabs know that they're in the wrong place. That's how the Palestinians know they're in the wrong place. You can look up historically and see where there's Perizzites and the Hivites and all those lived. And you'll see it's in Gaza. It's in the West Bank. It's in Lebanon. It's in all those places that they're saying don't belong to Israel. And the UN's dividing the land, parting the land for peace. And that's what Joel says. God's going to come back and wipe them out for doing it. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Read it sometime. Now, Linda is in Genesis 17. She's going to read a few more verses 1 through 10, if you would.
And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in this generation, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised.
See, now you notice it's covenants. He's covenanted for the land. He's covenanted to make them a great nation. He's covenanted also what Jenny Ombaugh is going to read in Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 8, and the giving of the Mosaic law is the Mosaic covenant. Read those 8 verses there, Jenny.
All right. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you.
Okay, now stop just for a second. You see how he's building on the covenant already given to Abraham? All about the land. And he's building, and there's covenants. So keep reading.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?
See how over and over it's nation, nation. This isn't an individual thing like it is with us. It's a national thing. And you see how it's plural covenants. You think about how sad it is that they forfeited all this. So much at stake. And they just forfeited it. But in addition to these covenants, a part of the Mosaic covenant law was the service of God. Listen, there's only one God-ordained priesthood on earth. And that's the Aaronic priesthood from Aaron. There, when the Melchizedek priesthood involves the heavenly. But on earth, as far as human beings being a part of, in a national or even individual sense, beyond what happened with Melchizedek, who was a picture of Jesus Christ, by the way, is the Aaronic, A-A-R-O-N-I-C, Aaronic priesthood. There's coming a new one in the millennium. There'll be a Zadokian, Zadok. But that's future. So any priesthood on earth today is a blasphemous counterfeit. The Roman Catholic priesthood, Buddhist priesthood, I don't care what it is. It's a, the Muslims or the Mormons have their own priesthood.
Yeah.
And it's all, and they even blasphemously claim it's a Melchizedek priesthood. Just utter blasphemy. But the service of God, Johnny, is in Numbers 3, 5 through 7 discussed and elsewhere, but this is just one select place. Read verses 5 through 7.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle.
The service. And over you'll see that. The service of God. The service of God. And it's always only talking about the one priesthood given under the temple. There is no temple. Therefore, there can be no priesthood. And during the tribulation period, we're all looking for the tribulation temple preparations. That's all a sign of the rapture's got to be soon if they're doing that.
Yeah.
Because there is going to be a temple, but it is a it is itself a complete travesty. It is a blasphemous counterfeit. And it's going to be corrupted by the beast himself, who is going to go into the temple and declare himself to be God. But that temple is instituted apart from God, not by God.
Yeah.
And the priesthood will be counterfeit, will not be this true priesthood. And I don't even think they're going to get, they may have a sacrifice and that kind of thing for a short time, but God's not going to put up with it. And that's when he's going to let the beast just go in there and claim to be God himself and sit in the holiest place.
Yeah.
Where the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant is, where Jesus will sit in the real temple during the millennium.
Amen.
He's going to sit on that. That mercy seat's the throne of God, by the way.
Yeah.
It's where God's presence was. But anyway, let's close this out with the promises now. Jill's in Deuteronomy 6. And the promises include pretty much everything we've already read and then some. So Jill, if you read Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 3. That summarizes all seven brought together as the promises, all of the above. Now back in Romans 9, building on verse 4, after having done that verse by verse, scripture with scripture comparison, then verse 5, if you're in Romans 9, read that with me. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed
forever.
Amen. Do you know, it's just a coincidence that the scripture refers to our fathers and to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 sons of Israel 77 times. And by the way, the church has no fathers.
Amen.
That's right.
The fathers is a reference to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and those original 12 sons. Fathers in reference to the church is a Roman Catholic fiction.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, most of the people they call church fathers were heretics.
That's right.
And I can name them off and tell you we don't have time for all that. But before, this we're going to close with this, and John will pick up next week right here in verse 6. Before being rejected by Israel, in Matthew 15:24, it tells us that Jesus came primarily for Israel. It says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's because Israel rejected their Messiah that we have been grafted in. So understanding who Israel is and that Israel is not the church. Israel has its own promises that we just read about. Is pivotal to understanding Scripture and to understanding what we started with. Paul's grief for his brethren. Amen. As they continue with a remnant believers, but the mass majority of Jews for 2,000 years having rejected their Messiah. Wow. So let's close with a word of prayer. Brother John, would you close our study?
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for the richness of your word. And Lord, it's by your word we can discern truth and error. And we just pray, Lord, that we'll be more diligent in studying your word at home. And Lord, that the things we learn that we'll be able to, when we meet together, share with one another. In fact, Lord, we could actually share with each other even during the week. Be merciful to us now. And Lord God, just as we know our bodies are just flesh, without you we can do nothing. Just ask your pure blessing upon the word and help us to grow to love you and to love one.